Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. It's a great honor to be here amongst you all today on this blessed Friday nearing the start of the Islamic month of Rabi al-Awwal, the birth month of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each one of us the ability to be here in jama'ah, in congregation. We have our efforts, but it's the invited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to let us come here, to be here in jama'ah, and to remember him and his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We live in a time where the ego and the mind continuously question reality, and we often have the urge to understand things based on our intellect, which is a great thing. But the beauty of this deen, and sometimes it comes to it, is the best to do is what required from us is trust and reliance. Firstly, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust and reliance on the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to the message of Allah that has come through him. And trust and reliance in the authority given to the companions, to the sahabas of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The understanding of Islam that we have today and the reason to us being from the ummah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a lot to do with the level of faith and tawakkul of our first Khalifa, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. We owe it to him. And I'll go into detail why. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left us with many of his words describing and confirming the status of his sahabas. Sahabas are the companions who sat with the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And more specifically of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anh, Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu anh, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh. And these four pious personalities were also part of the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 who were promised Jannah from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And about his sahaba, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "My companions are like guiding stars. Whomever you follow, you will rightly be guided." And in one instance pertaining to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Never had I presented Islam to anyone who had not stumbled or hesitated, except for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh." Allahu Akbar. He did not hesitate. He was one of the first who trusted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the message, the revelation of Islam came. He was the first to accept Islam with the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became his right hand in spreading the message to those who opposed. He did the hijrah that we came to know. There's a lot of stories about it. He did the migration from Makkah to al-Mukarramah to Medina to al-Munawwara with the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we hear Jabal al-Thawr or the Cave of Thawr. That's where they took refuge while the opposing soldiers looked for the beloved Prophet ﷺ, and they were coming to kill him. And before I go into that, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh and the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they share lineage. They're cousins from the seventh generation, from the family of Murrah. He was a man of virtue and nobility, and his nobility was obvious in the responsibilities given to him, even before Islam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, before Islam, was seen as virtuous and as a leader, and he never drank, and he prevented people from drinking, to the point that he would even collect debt of people who committed manslaughters. This is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He was always seen loyal. And so when he became the right hand of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine the time where many sided with and many opposed. And to say first that even Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the wife of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was also the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This is the love and trust and how close our beloved Prophet and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu were. And there's no doubt that he reached the ma'rifah of Allah. One example, I just want to share a few things that we can take in terms of humility, generosity, and the love that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had for Allah and his messenger in this deen. One example was during the Battle of Tabuk. Muslims needed a lot of money for a campaign, and so the messenger, peace be upon him, had appealed for generous contributions from everyone. And at the time, every person that met the Prophet ﷺ thought they were the best in his eyes. So they would always compete in a friendly way, all the sahabas that we will do the most, or we're going to be the better ones. And so when they all brought their treasures and whatever they own, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anh and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh were in the front. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, "What did you bring?" And he brought half of his entire wealth to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What did you leave for your family?" And he said, "I left half of it for my family." Then the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, "What did you bring?" And he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I brought everything." He brought all his wealth. And he said, "What did you leave?" The Prophet ﷺ asked him, "What did you leave for your family?" And he said, "I left for them Allah and His Messenger. And that is sufficient, Ya Rasulullah." This is the level of faith, tawakkul, that trusting that what he has left for his family is far greater than what this dunya has to offer. Yet we run after wealth, we run after fame. The actual fame is knowing these personalities, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these personalities, through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another incident, subhanAllah, there's so much on Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. Another instance I want to share is one that when they were in Jabal Thawr, they were hiding, they were seeking refuge, obviously in Allah, but away from the soldiers as they were coming to kill them. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh went into the cave first to see if it was safe enough for them to rest for the few days. And they, I believe in one narration they were there for 3 days. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh covers all the holes that he sees in the cave. And so when they sit inside, there's one hole left that he covers with his foot, Mubarak. And in one narration it's his heel, and the Prophet ﷺ takes a nap, he lays down in the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. And I want you guys to focus on this story, because this is love, this is muhabba. An insect or a snake in the narration comes and starts attacking the foot of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh through that hole. And the Prophet ﷺ is asleep, and to prevent him from waking up, he doesn't move an inch. He takes all that pain. He takes it in until an eyedrop, a weep, falls on the blessed cheeks of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A blessed teardrop from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq on the blessed cheek of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wakes up and asks him, "What happened, Abu Bakr?" And we would complain right away if we were in pain, right? He says, "May my parents be sacrificed to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A snake has bit me." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes his saliva Mubarak and puts it where the snake attacked, and by the miracle and by the will of Allah, the injury healed, alhamdulillah. And another incident is when they were protected. They were together in that cave. We hear about the spider that spun its web. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a spider and a pigeon to lay eggs, so those soldiers could not get to them. And they came, and they thought that this was an old place, they're not going to be here. And that's the level of faith and trust that the Prophet ﷺ had in Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. And one more, in terms of humility, we often have this need of showing everyone our good deeds. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh used to go and serve this old lady without anyone knowing. This old lady, she was blind, she had no one to help her, she didn't have any relatives. And he would go to her every night after Fajr, every morning, to take care of her, take care of her needs, clean up after her. And one day, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anh came to the doorstep, our second Khalifa, of that lady, and said, "I heard that you need help, you need assistance, I'm here to serve you." And she said, "No, I already have someone." And he doesn't know it's Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. So he asks again, and she persists, "No, I have someone to take care of me." And he says, "What's the difference between me and him?" She said, "He didn't tell me his name, and you're telling me your name." And so he's curious as to who this person could be. So he waits in the dawn of during Fajr time, and he sees this man coming from the Masjid al-Nabwi, the Prophet's mosque, walking to that place with a veil over his head and no shoes. And when he confronts him, it's Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. And he asks him, "Why are you covered?" And he revealed that, "I didn't want anyone to know that these were my footsteps, because this is a secret between me and Allah. This is a good deed that I'm doing between me and Allah. I don't want anyone knowing it's me. I don't want anyone knowing that these are my footsteps." This is the maqam. And this is what we take from that, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks for our ibadah, He looks for our prayers, but above that is our spiritual state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much time do we take out to reflect on that? How much time do we take to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because to know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't just say we love him and not know who the sahabas are, not know who the Ahlul Bayt are, not know the sacrifices and all the battles that were fought. Time is short and I apologize, I came late. And so I'll try to end this quick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us the light of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the light of the sahabas, the acts of charity that they did. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to serve our communities the way the sahabas, the way the pious, the way the sacrifices they made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us be part of those sacrifices in this time, in the area that we live in. We should seek to do more good. Hidden charity is the best charity, and unity is community. We need to love one another for the sake of Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to love one another to be able to promote the message of peace, because this is a message of peace and love. And our ibadah, our fara'id, they will be accepted if our hearts are pure. They'll be accepted if we don't have hate for one another. They'll be accepted if we seek continuous tawbah and make constant shukr. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate all of our ranks and those that have passed. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to leave in a state better than that which we came in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to learn about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to learn the Qur'an, to understand the Qur'an, to memorize the Qur'an, and to learn the Arabic language. These are basics that we need for our forward generation to continue. And this is what we seek in refuge. We seek refuge in Allah. But to get to Allah, these are the steps that we